Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Yin Q, and you are listening to Why Are People Into That with Tina Horn.
If we're going to talk about masturbating about Jimi Hendrix and the turquoise chain.
Yeah, being a submissive to Bette Davis is super hot. Oh my God.
So good.
Uh-huh.
You heard it here first.
Oh.
Please, yeah, yeah. Talk to me like that.
Yeah, it's my radio voice.
It's really good.
Oh, thank you. Do you ever watch Maria Bamford?
Oh, yes, voice? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is amazing.
Yeah. Anyway.
you, she's kind of a kindred spirit of yours.
Of course. Oh, yeah. As a fellow crazy, I really appreciate someone that makes jokes about mental illness. And, you know, that gets to, because she has it. You don't get to do it if you don't.
Are you ever going to make like a mental illness porn?
I have made a mental illness porn. My first gangbang was right. Me in a psych ward after I tried to commit suicide.
I've seen that. I've seen that, actually, now that we're talking about it. But yeah. That was a pretty intense day. We don't have to include this.
Oh, it's cool. It was, yeah, no, it was just like, that was crazy. I definitely liked my other gangbangs more.
Mm-hmm.
We can totally talk about this. I'm not a rape scene fan, not in that way. I like soft rape, and we're talking about consensual, like,
of course, consensual, non-consent, and,
yeah,
fantasy.
exactly.
Yes.
Just clarifying before someone gets upset. Yeah,
tell me more about soft rape.
Soft rape is like your dad like playing a game with you.
Oh,
you know, and you don't really know what's happening. That's really fun. Or like your doctor takes advantage of you, but uh-huh. I'm not super into the like gang rape, fighting back, crying. I like to be kind of coherent and kind of into it and confused. Oh. I mean, like, why does this feel so bad and feel so good at the same time? The simulation is really interesting. I think other people have totally different experiences.
For me, sure.
It feels like I'm like consenting to actual rape almost. And some people would have like
right.
maybe some problematic feelings around me saying that. But it's like, it's weird. It's like you signed on to like actually get raped.
Mm.
That was my experience. And then I don't actually feel that way with like any of the people involved. And actually, I love some of the people involved. But it was just as a mental place to go for me personally. It was too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're smiling about it now.
Oh, because it was whatever. It was not like a... It's just something I learned about myself. I tried something that I didn't know. And, you know, I didn't love it. But it wasn't necessarily like, you know. It was what it was. It was a learning experience. And I was like, okay, well. And then I went back and like was like, oh, do I just hate gangbangs?
Mm.
And then I, you know, hit up Madeline, Maitresse Madeline, and was like, you know, can I try this again? Because I didn't enjoy it the first time, but I want to just do it different. And it turns out I love me a gangbang. Like, it was great. I loved it. So, you know, it was just like a learning experience. And I think some people really enjoy it. Like, I have friends that like do like hardcore rape scenes, and that's, they're about it.
Yeah.
I just realized that I wasn't. Interesting, right?
It is so interesting. I'm almost speechless with how interesting it is.
We weren't even going to talk about this.
But yeah, we just ended up on it. You know, I feel like you and I have talked about this before. Like, I also really, in some of my, like, early experiences seeing clients, anytime there was a client who all of the other, like, ladies in the house would be like, oh, God, like, creepy Uncle Steve is back. I would be like, I love creepy Uncle Steve.
I know.
Steve.
I loved all those. I do.
There was just something about, like... I found that the clients who took things to sort of what you're defining as soft rape. I mean, maybe we could have a, like a
better term,
a better
that.
Term
that was,
for it.
That was a very lazy term. I'm really sorry, guys.
Rape is rape.
In pretend fantasy land, right. not real.
We could call it like
real life
coercion play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's definitely like, it's a power play. I mean, for me, there's like this like level of just like over the top sleaze is what does it for me. And like, you know, I mean, incest.
Yeah. No, same. I worked at the Lusty Lady. That place was gross. The place was disgusting. It was covered in jizz and had carpets. But I loved it.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Because it was seedy.
Yeah, it's weird. I love, like, I am a fancy, opulent bitch, but I love disgusting, seedy, like, yeah, no.
Well, do you like contrast?
I do. I like contrast. I'm versatile.
Opulence and filth. You can get it all with Arabelle Raphael, which, by the way, we've already started talking, and perhaps we should introduce you to my listeners. Some of them are probably familiar with your work.
Maybe.
So Arabelle is a quite legendary pornographer.
I've been around the block.
And is also a writer and a fine artist. So you had an installation at the Soma Art Center in San Francisco last year,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which I didn't get to see in person, but I saw some of the images online. You did this really incredible photo series about sex work. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. It's great because I'm working on turning it into a book. So
amazing.
I'm plugging right now.
Please plug away.
I'm such an asshole. For years, ever since I started doing sex work, I started collecting like the worst hate mail I got, or like the most interesting. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with this, but I'm going to do something with this one day. And then Maxine Holloway approached me about doing like an art show. And, you know, I was like, oh my God. And like in 2 seconds, I like knew exactly what I was going to do and what those photos were for. So I took all like my favorite quotes, and this is from emails, through Tumblr, through like Instagram, whatever, DMs, all the places that, you know, the outside world has to contact sex workers, you know, or anybody. Mm-hmm. So I took all those and decided to reenact what they told me in the photographs, kind of putting an image to their words, because I think, you know, it's really easy to write really fucked up shit on the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never actually like trolled somebody, because I don't have that kind of hate in my heart.
Mm.
But I've even like just like said like blanketly like extreme things, and I'm like, oh, I don't actually feel that harshly about this, right? But it's really easy, especially when you're anonymous, to just like go to like the deep dark. It's kind of a mirror to that. I'm like, okay, this is exactly what you just said to me, you know, and what it's like to like process those, you know, these kinds of images. When I first started getting these letters, it hurt and impacted me, you know, way harder than at this point. You know, it's been 8 years. I don't really care.
They should stop doing it.
Yeah. But, you know, I definitely like learning how to process all that was like very difficult. And I think a lot of like anybody that's public, I think, you know, it's like definitely more, I think maybe more violent with sex workers, but I think every femme people in general get, or maybe everybody. I mean, I've seen like the mean celebrity tweets, like people just are really nasty.
Yeah. But I think that it's true that when there's a group that
is already marginalized.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Totally. Like women, like sex workers, like people of color.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed. Yeah, so that was what that was about, and like kind of my own process. So I did these images and I installed them and like had the quotes like at the bottom of all my photographs. And
can you describe one of them?
This one's funny. We'll see the funny one.
Do the funny one.
This was on Instagram. This guy was like, "Oh my God!" I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact quote, but you know. Oh my God, this bitch is so ugly. Like, she looks like a fat Arab chain smoking cigarettes in a liquor store. No, she looks like a liquor. No, this was actually how it was phrased. She looks like a liquor store a fat Arab chain smokes in. great.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing
because it's ridiculous.
No, it's
it's ridiculous.
I'm laughing because I know that you have reclaimed it and thrown it back in his face. Yeah.
I'm totally not offended that you laugh. It's ridiculous. And so I like took a photograph of my legs spread, and it's like an up close shot of my pussy, and there's an open like neon sign in the front, and there's like a trash can like outside. I basically turned my pussy into the convenience store.
Amazing.
And my hand, and I'm in these big like hooker heels. Not hooker heels, actually. Hookers do not wear that. Stripper heels.
Stripper heels.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, and big stripper heels. And then my hand is in there as well, like, with piles and piles of cigarettes everywhere, like, smoking.
So, so brilliant. So funny. It's a very, if you just saw the image, it's a very provocative image. I don't know. It almost seems like a like an anti-smoking. Like we sell pussy the way that we sell cigarettes. Like blah blah blah. Like, but no. The way that you, I don't know, taking the hateful things that these people say and filtering them through. Not like acknowledging that they are filtered through you as a human being, your consciousness, that you receive them, and that they might emotionally affect you in any number of ways, that they might stick with you or traumatize you in any number of ways, but also that you as a person who is hurt by these things or traumatized by these things is also someone who has creativity and intelligence and a sense of humor, and that you're all of those things. You're a fucking human being, and that to make that statement as an artist, I think, is really powerful.
It was a nice fuck you. I also like sold. So I seriously made money off my fucking hate mail. So it's like, fuck
that is
you,
the best.
Losers.
That is the best.
For
revenge.
Giving me a paycheck.
It reminds me, too, of the technique that I try to use when I'm caught off guard by an insult or a microaggression, which is just to repeat the thing that the person says back to me. So, like, if somebody at the office that I'm working at says, well, I don't think that homophobia had anything to do with the election of Donald Trump, then I can just say, did you just say to me, you don't think that homophobia has anything to do with the election of Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And then you just say, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hear yourself. Say the same thing back. And then you don't even have to say anything else. Just be like, I don't have anything more to say to that unless you have something more interesting or intelligent to say to me.
Oh yeah. No, there was one, I'm going to talk about one more and then we can.
Please do. Please do.
There was one of them was, and for the book, I'm actually including nice letters too. I decided to give a more well-rounded approach. Also, like, who wants to read a book full of like hatred after a while? I think that's a little intense.
Yeah.
Like I had some people like at the art show, like some people got like, had some feelings. it was a little triggery, I think, for some people to look at. So I'm going to give a little bit more, you know, more well-rounded view of what it's like to be public sex worker.
Yeah.
And specifically who is like not white and, you know, me, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Right. What it's like to be me. So there's one photo where like, it was on when I used to use the Tumblr back in the days. Cause I, you know, I built my shit by myself.
Hell yeah.
So I used all the things, and Tumblr was a huge tool for a little bit for me. I posted a photo of my now husband and I, having sex on my period. And, you know, the photo is like his cock, like covered in blood and the sheets covered in blood and, you know, my crotch too. And right after I posted that photo, someone sent me an anonymous email that was like, now I know why Hitler gassed the Jews, you dirty fucking whore.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, menstrual blood, like, you brought up the Holocaust. Like, sorry. It's just so ridiculous. And, you know, the image was straight up. I'm just shaking my head.
What,
can I say it? Oh. You can... So where I shot the photo was at the no longer owned armory.
Oh, yes.
I used the downstairs. Like, on one of the sets, and you know, it's dark. It looks, it could pass as a concentration camp. I've been to concentration camps. Yeah. Like, you know, less run down, but yeah.
Sure.
But, yeah, so, you know, stark, bleak. And I just laid myself out on the floor and had menstrual blood coming out of my, vagina in the shape of a swastika. Cause I'm like, you straight up just said that to me, you know, yeah. like you know, decided that I just deserved to be, to be gassed because I let my partner fuck me on my period. Like, it's just like so ridiculous. And these reactions are so strong that I think, yeah, just like that mirror, like, look at yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's an incredible way to use symbolism and creativity to take the power back. And I think, you know, if somebody is triggered by these images, that's one thing.
Totally.
But for somebody to be like, well, these are all really dark and intense, it's like, yeah.
And that's what it's like.
That's what it's like. This is what people are doing to me. So how do you all like it now?
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I'm not afraid. I don't think it helps anyone to not discuss like dark and uncomfortable subjects. Obviously, like, you know, there's a trigger warning. Probably will be some kind of like thing on the book that's like, hey, if like this stuff gets to you, like, just know it's gonna be a little intense.
Yeah.
But like, I also like, if you pretend like that none of these things exist, like nothing happens.
Totally. So. And it evil persists.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tell me more about the plans for the book.
You know, I've shopped it around to a couple publishers and it didn't like feel like an exact fit. So I think what I'm doing, I'm going to like Indiegogo it.
Oh, cool.
Self-publish. And then maybe try to shop it around. We'll see.
Cool. Well, I will be pledging.
Oh, thank you. Because I thought about it more and I was like, you know what? Like for a book itself, I think I want like a more balanced view of all of it and all the different mail. And
so do you have a vision of something that you're going to stage to represent like a nice piece of fan mail?
I have not chosen the nice yet. I've chosen the mean and the ridiculous. I haven't gotten there yet. The ridiculous are fun though. Because I think people also, when anybody is like a public figure, quote unquote, though,
to
the extent that I am, like to put you on a pedestal.
Right.
And you are the most beautiful, most intelligent, the best person that has ever walked the face of the earth. Right? It's very intense, too. So it's like this other extreme.
Yeah.
And so I have this, like, idea. I haven't shot it yet. So I'm still, like, working on shooting it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like, this is not completely thought out yet, but like, you know, a religious, you know, iconary saint kind of figure.
I love that.
You know, yeah, yeah.
And you should
I'm like,
make.
I'm a person. I like poop and I make mistakes. You know?
You should make, I can like see you on, altar candles. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes, totally. In that, spirit. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun merch to sell.
I feel weird about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I don't know. I feel like I'm just like, as a like young little Middle Eastern Jewish girl, I'm like, feel uncomfortable like taking, and like, that's like very popular within like Mexican Catholic like
right.
families. And I just feel like that might be rude. Even though I'm not super into religion ever, like,
yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people that feels a little uncomfortable when I see prints on a religious scandal. But I guess you could say the same thing about this photo that I'm going to take. So,
well, you're playing, everybody's playing around with
all kinds of things. Yeah.
Iconography people, and deifying and.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how the reaction is too. I mean, I think I'm a person that it gets mixed reactions anyway. So like, it's not going to be anything new. I'm excited.
Like Prince, you are controversial.
Like Prince. I'm going to start comparing myself to Prince.
I do it all the time. Well, so, and what, tell me about how things are going for you with your writing.
That's like, you know, happens when I have the time. Yeah. I ran, I'm trying to think, like 5 different clips and websites.
Yeah.
And I'm an escort and I tour like all over the US. And, you know, I have like my partners.
Yeah.
And I have all these things that I do. So
fur babies.
What? And fur babies. So many fur babies. They're so cute. And so, yeah, they just get so filled up. So I do it when I have the time. I really wish I could do more of it. You know, get a like full on practice. I'm kind of playing around with writing a book of short stories of life, and not necessarily just focused on sex work. That's something I'm actually very afraid of like being pinholed as just a sex work. And I bet like for anything, even for you, right? Like, yeah. Right. Like you don't want to just be stuck in this one thing because we're all multifaceted. And I mean, that is what I know the most about. I've been in a, you know, since I was 20.
I feel that way, although the more I expand into different mediums that, and you know, I'm going to be expanding into some new ones in 2018 that I'm excited about, like, I guess I just feel like there's so much to sex work, and that if that, like, gets people's attention...
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Then I'm like... I don't know.
Who gives a fuck?
Right,
like,
now,
as long
I feel,
as I got your attention.
I mean,
like, it's there.
First of all, like, you know, sex workers are the people that I love the most dearly in this world. And also, like, shit is still fucked for us.
Oh, totally.
So, you know, so I feel like as long as I can, like, use nonfiction and fiction and writing and media making and teaching as like a platform to like bring it back to sex work, if that can like keep my like brothers and sisters from being murdered in the street, then like that's like that keeps me from feeling burnt out
on that. Yeah, I don't know. I totally agree with everything you're saying. As someone else that's been doing like full-time sex work their entire adult life, I'm like also like I'm like multifaceted and not just this one thing.
Absolutely.
Right? But yeah, I mean, obviously this is like, that's how I have created everything. All of the opportunities I have within even these other mediums are because of sex work.
Yeah.
So definitely not like defying or walking away from that. I'm like, you know, like for life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I had 2 jobs before, and very short lived before. I mean, I've been doing sex work my entire adult life.
But you have versatility.
You
want to
be a whole person.
Yeah.
And also just because I want to talk about other shit. Because I care about other shit too.
Well, and also part of if your public persona is attached to your sex work persona, then There are certain pressures.
Yes.
Maybe they've, I mean, my feelings about this have changed over time, and I bet that yours have too, with like how you represent yourself in public. But
very much, yes.
But like, you know, there are sometimes pressures like, oh, can I, you and I have talked about this a million times, like, can I talk about politics? Can I be something other than just like bright and cheery and down to fuck all the time? Like, can I express an unpopular opinion, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. And I push and go back and forth with that so much.
Yeah.
I have a lot of deleted tweets.
A graveyard of deleted tweets
where I'm like, oh, I just sounded like a harpy. I had to calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm a harpy. And I take that.
I love that about you.
I know.
You.
I take that. Like, and feel that's a thing. That's like also my power. So. Yeah. But I think I try to find a balance because, you know, I do need to make a living and whatever. But I think at the same time, like, I don't, like, especially, I just recently had someone, because I tweeted something, and like some of it had to do with like Trump, and it was Barbara Streisand talking about Trump. And she, the way she actually talked about what I liked is that she called Stormy Daniels a woman and not porn star. And mm-hmm. I was like, Barbara did it right, like, you know. And someone was like, you know, I came here for fun, like smokeouts and blowjobs and like fuck you, blah 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 blah. And then he's like, in other words, you're fired. And I'm like, okay, like, cool. I don't really want you masturbating to me anyways. Like, again, place of privilege, where right. I can, you know, stand to lose. You know, I think other people do not have that ability, but that's also the way I've built my brand too. Like, it's always been like, you know, I'm not a like an activist in the, you know, I'm not going and fighting, you know, for our rights and calling, you know, talking to senators and doing all that. I'm not even a citizen of the United States, so I can't even vote. So, but it's definitely calmed down. Like, I used to be like, and also, like, I was really young and also didn't know what I was talking about. So I used to be very vocal, like, and just, like, looking back now, I'm like, oh, I don't even feel that way anymore.
You run 5 different clip stores.
Yeah.
So you make a lot of your own porno.
Yes. Yes.
And you also occasionally will work for other people's companies.
Yeah, at this point. I'll do some things. I'm like, I am someone that loves performing, but definitely disenchanted by the way the industry is run, as you know.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm weird. So, like, there's only...
What makes you weird?
I am not white. I'm heavily tattooed. And either you're going to be like, but there's heavily tattooed porn stars all the time. They are very thin. Mm. They're tan. They're mostly white and they have fake boobs, which is nothing bad, but I'm not that.
Right.
You know, so there's a certain criteria for being all these certain things.
And well, I think that's true.
Let's be real. No, no,
no, no, I no, I definitely think it's okay. True. I was going to say that I feel like that's true for a lot of different qualities. Like, you can get away with being really androgynous in porn if you are very slender and have like yes. a very symmetrical face. Like,
yes.
like Jiz Lee, for example,
yes.
can have a lot of crossover mainstream appeal because I don't think anyone would argue like Jiz Lee is like attractive to all different kinds of people and is just like classically symmetrically beautiful, slender, like athletic. And so they can get away with being with like insisting on continuing to identify as genderqueer in porn. I feel like people can get away with like being thicker if they are really exceptionally conventionally pretty and like really good at like femming up, you
yeah,
know?
Like,
and
like I think Angela White,
really good example.
Super hot.
So
super
hot.
And thick. Like, she's, or, you yeah. know, who was like that? Kelly Devine was also super thick.
Totally.
But yeah, in the other ways, you know, they weren't tattooed.
That's the thing, exactly. It's mm-hmm. like, you can be thick, but can you have tattoos? You like, need to be white and have to be very, like, you know.
Yeah, there's all the things. And, you know.
Western conventional looking.
I consider myself, like, a cult classic.
You are a cult classic.
That's what I call myself. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm never like, I dabble and I've hit like mainstream stuff, but I'm not a mainstream performer. But like, the following that I do have is like hardcore. I have people that have been like, you know, buying and watching my stuff from like the first scene I ever did where I wasn't even credited. You know what I mean?
It's pretty awesome.
Like, that's a long time, and that's 8 years. You know?
Yeah, I mean, so. you're a superstar.
Oh no, that's not. That's not what I was saying.
No, but I think you're a superstar.
But yeah, so I make my own porn, I escort, and I'll occasionally make some movies and direct sometimes also.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you won best trans feature for All My Mother's Lovers.
Yeah, Mona Wills. We tied actually, which I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh yeah, with Buck Angel. Yeah,
with Buck.
Cool.
Yeah. But that was really neat.
Yeah.
You know, I really did not think that would ever happen, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I was like, oh okay.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, you were like already in your pajamas by the time that
happened. I was already in my pajamas. I'm a grandma.
Yeah. So, and we have known each other through the like Bay Area and sex work queer scene for a long ass time, man.
Yeah, 2010?
I think that's right.
I think it's 2010. Yeah, that's a minute. And through so many like incarnations of our different personas and like selves.
Totally. You know? And we like did a panel together at the Feminist Porn Awards in like 2012.
Yeah, something like that.
I directed you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We've done all kinds of little things and adventures.
And we've had some fun adventures.
Some good adventures. Lots of hot tubs.
Yes.
Yeah, there's actually been a lot of hot tubs.
Yeah. Whenever possible, we're like, fuck this. Let's just go find
Let's just take our clothes off and sit in the hot tub. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, Why Are People Into That fans. Did you know that May is Masturbation Month at the Pleasure Chest? If you're in New York City, you can learn some techniques for self-touch at the Mindful Masturbation Workshop at the Upper East Side Pleasure Chest store on 2nd Avenue. That is on Wednesday, May 23rd, and like all Pleasure Chest workshops, it's free and includes 15% off your shopping when you attend. Celebrate self-love by visiting your local Pleasure Chest store in New York City, Los Angeles, or Chicago, or by shopping online at pleasurechest.com. Follow Pleasure Chest on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for updates on hashtag Masturbation May. And remember, the orgasms you experience with your partners start with you. So you identify as femme, yes?
Yes.
And I would actually love for you to talk a little bit about, like, what does femme identity mean to you?
I've always had a hard time talking about it because for me, it was just me.
Yeah.
Like, it was never this thing that I, like, found in a different way and reclaimed. I, like, oh, this just was me. I remember being little and watching Jessica Rabbit and watching Avery cartoons. Very problematic, by the way, but you know, I was a kid. They're made in the fucking 40s.
Soft rape.
Yeah. God, everybody's gonna hate me. It's everyone's okay. But yeah, what am I talking about? Oh yeah, so watching Tex Avery cartoons, and they have these like sexy nightclub singers that the wolf is the creepy dude wolf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
man the patriarchy is always chasing, and I was just like, who are these like creatures? And I couldn't tell if I wanted to fuck them or be them. And it's really both. Like, yeah. That's, and it's still.
And then it turns out you can have both.
Yeah. And you can. Oh, blessed. I was really, my dad was like really into James Bond. So I was like super into Bond girls. So I liked to, like, as a little kid, love to like dress up in bombas, have fake guns, and like play with money.
And look at you now.
And look at me now. And yeah, the gun's not, I mean, I own a gun, but I don't like go play with them, so the gun thing lasts. But yeah, boas and my, and I don't do boas either, but you know.
you've your style has, know, I'm
just
has
kidding.
Evolved.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. My style has evolved. So for me, that was just always really natural. I remember like loving the smell of my mother's lipstick. It was something that just came very naturally.
It's an innate part of you.
It is. It really is.
You know, I mean, I think that, I mean, a lot of femmes that I know feel that way. And a lot of what, the more I've learned about queer femmes and from queer femmes about femme as an identity, it's really helped me to understand my relationship to femininity, because I don't really have that innate love of girliness, but I also, when I was young, made that mistake of like thinking that if I wanted to be like a strong feminist or to like associate my, to like be the things that I wanted to be, I thought I had to be masculine, and I like thought I had to be like, well, all my friends are boys. I don't really get along with girls.
Femphobia.
Femphobia. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Totally. And like, you know, if I wanted to be smart, if I wanted to be physically strong, if I wanted to get ahead in life, that I had to be like super masculine. But I was never actually really a tomboy. I was always actually really attracted to glitter and color and flamboyance. And
still true.
Still true. And, you know, I'm wearing a fucking pink shirt right now. And like, I recently have been thinking a lot about glam as an identity, the way that Saint Vincent styled herself for her recent album. Have you seen any of that stuff from Mass Seduction?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, Saint Vincent?
I am like, I live under a rock.
I think you would like Saint Vincent's music.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna hook you up.
Yeah, please, please do.
She's like queer femme, sort of punk, but also sort of dancey, like experimental. Babe, and she's actually gay, which is always nice.
Always nice.
Yeah. But anyway, and we were talking about Prince and even David Bowie. Like, I went to this Brooklyn Museum David Bowie exhibition that was amazing. And I don't know, I just like I found myself thinking about like glam as like an expression of glitter and color and flamboyance and all of those things that doesn't that has to do with like the literal performance and playing with gender. It feels separate for me from
than femme.
It feels separate from like what you're describing about being innately femme. I feel like it's important for me to like recognize and honor that by distinguishing myself from it, because that's not my experience. But I don't have to like hate it in order to not identify with it.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're kind of a glitter fag.
Yes, it's true.
Is that like the term for it?
I mean,
I think so.
It's been said before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is a little different.
Yeah,
but yeah. So it's really interesting. Sometimes I was like, for a second, because I like identify with like so much like drag queen culture. I was like, okay, is this like a form of drag for me? And I'm like, not really, but maybe like it doesn't have to be this like black and white either or kind of thing, you know, like,
yeah,
gender is complicated.
It certainly is,
you know. And as I've gotten older and have also like am femme for a living,
yeah, right,
I've
exactly
very as I'm telling you, I've gotten like a little lazier in my femme. I used to, you know, be super high femme on my time off, and now I just like to, like I was saying, like the lazy femme. So
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
microblading, fake nails, eyelash extensions. I'm like, how much like little work can I do to look fabulous all the time?
Yeah. And you do look fabulous.
I'm hacking it.
Yeah, I mean, you're
hacking
like
femme.
pretty you're pretty casual right now, but you look, you do look pretty doe-eyed.
I'm wearing someone else's pants.
Amazing.
Always.
Tell me how nails feel like a symbol of or an incarnation of your femme identity.
For me, they're a tool.
Tell me more about that.
Aesthetically, I think I may just have a fingernail fetish too.
Okay.
I think that's just really it. Not fingernail, but nail art, nice nail fetish. Like,
yeah,
it's something I notice on people when they have them.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, certain, you know, that I think they're very sexy. So I think I'm first off just like sexually attracted to that.
Yeah.
It's nails.
Yeah.
And also for me, like, it is a tool.
Yeah.
Because you can scratch. So non-consensual, is that okay?
It's totally
okay,
fine.
Cool. You told me I can do it anyways. We've had this conversation.
We've had this conversation.
I'm like, is it okay tonight? And you're like, yes. Always.
You can grope me unless I will let you know if you you've over groped me, Arabelle.
But yeah, and you can tickle, and you can. I've been like really stepping in as I get older into like bum dumb realness. I can write like words into someone's skin.
Nice.
It, that feeling of like, I've every client that I've ever like lightly like traced my nails across their balls like a shudder. It is a tool.
I don't even have balls, and I'm like,
right, right. So
yeah, little pussy tap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the pussy tap.
us. I do have to complain.
Please.
That with now you can totally, and Crashpad did this awesome like blog about how like you can totally fuck vaginas with
or any hole
yeah, yes. Well, they focused the focus was but yes,
but like, but in general, right, like
I guessing people are afraid of also butts and all that stuff. Yeah,
let's
right.
let me just even back up and say that I feel like something that I see a lot in queer discourse about, well, not even actually necessarily queer discourse, but maybe even like feminist or even just like sort of like casual female empowerment, like
old school lesbian. I'd say
definitely old school lesbian, but also I think like it's like almost like mainstream casually accepted joke that like lesbians don't like girl-on-girl porn because, and you can tell it's not real, quote-unquote. You can tell that they're not real lesbians that don't really like having sex with other women
because they have long nails. Which I know plenty of actual of lesbians with long nails.
Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So would you, I see you rolling your eyes at this idea. Like, can we complicate this narrative? Because, you know, obviously, like, it comes from a place of critiquing a certain kind of like male gaze of like what girl on girl porn is, and I think that that is something that is worthy of critique. However,
totally.
If we like then make people who actually have a certain style or have certain preferences, if we make them invisible, then like who the fuck are we really helping? Yeah, and yeah. It is femphobic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, everybody's allowed to. I mean, the idea of, like, deciding what someone's sexuality is based on, like, what their nails are is pretty fucking stupid.
Agreed.
And there's so many, there are different ways to have sex. And it's a really weird and very, like, narrow-minded idea of, like, what sex looks like. And also, they don't know all the tricks.
So what you're saying is that you can have very long, elaborate nails, perhaps ones with amethyst or onyx
and quartz.
Onyx and quartz.
Glued to them.
Glued to them, for example. Like some people I know.
I don't. Who are you talking about?
And still put those nails, put those fingers inside of someone.
Yeah. And there's definitely tricks. Now, I'm going to say, like, there are times where I'm like, man, I wish I could just let loose and whatever. And it's something that I definitely have to be more mindful of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop me. I mean, I have actually have two partners that have holes that like to be played with. So yeah, you know, both. Yeah, and it's like that's never like been a thing either. You put on some gloves and some fucking. You don't always need to even do the like
cotton balls.
The cotton balls at the end. The gloves are really advised with the 3D stuff because that's just like easy to cut and that's just not
the 3D stuff. Meaning
they glued onto your nail. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That I really
like rhinestones.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. But it's some, you know, there's different techniques and different ways. Like if you're not, don't have rhinestones, just have really long pointy nails to do it in a way that does not actually, you know, you kind of like flatten out. I can't really explain this, but it's kind of like this push like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. You like, so do it with your hands.
So it's like, I'm kind of, yeah, it's like this kind of thing. So you go in and when you push, you're like moving like this so the scratch doesn't like, I don't know how to explain. You're pushing your
the
index
like pads
and your pads forward.
Okay.
Does that kind of, yeah.
And you're pressing your index and your middle finger,
yes,
together and placing them inside someone carefully,
yes,
right? And then because, you know, the nails are going to go in first, but mm-hmm, if you slide them in, then they're not going to poke anything.
Yeah, yeah, just be
maybe
mindful.
Like use a lot of extra lube.
Yeah, it's just like there's just ways around. Now, yes, again, like sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I could just like run, like, let go. But you do have to be a little bit more mindful.
Yeah, and not everybody likes that.
And not everybody. So I personally do not like fingers in my any of my holes,
really?
Actually, not really, like maybe a little bit in my butt, but they're kind of nubby and I prefer other things, whether it be toys or a flesh or non-flesh dick, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Like I like, yeah, prefer that over fingers. I don't know, I had like a thing like I used to like it and then all of a sudden I was like, I don't like this anymore.
So
yeah, not everybody likes that kind of thing either.
That's true. So what And when, so if you are, let's say you're going on a date with someone.
Yes.
And you've got the nails that you have now, which, by the way, can we talk about your nails? So we've already talked about you have stones attached to them. Where did you get these? Where did you get these done?
I get these done at Pamper Nail Gallery. I go to Fremont to get my nails. I drive 30 in infant traffic. It's an hour.
I bet it's pretty affordable out in Fremont.
It's, you know, it's actually more affordable. It's still like expensive, but it's more affordable when it comes to nail design. And it's great. And it's all like POC babes, like, that are amazing, that all have like crazy ass nails too.
Yeah.
So not only that, they're doing this crazy design with like nails that are like a million times longer than mine.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that they can do all this precision with this crazy. You just relearn how to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So
what do they look
stilettos.
Like?
What
does that mean?
It's the pointed end that's sharp. Ends.
And so these are not your nails. They're press on.
This
nails.
Is no, they're not press on. They're acrylics.
Acrylics.
They're acrylics.
Sorry.
That have been.
I'm like, it's okay. I'm like femme easy. Easy.
Oh yeah, no. These are acrylics. They're built on me too, so I actually don't have like anything glued onto them. Period. They build the nail completely.
Wait,
handcrafted. How do they do that?
Explain
this
to me.
They've got to put like a sticker under. It's a whole thing. They build it on top of the sticker. They remove the sticker and it hardens. But yeah, they've made all the. I mean, and this is also on top of like some of my natural nail. My natural nail is that long for all of these, actually. All of these is my natural nail under. So my natural nail's that long. It's just like I don't want them to break. Except for this one. I broke this one. So you can see the cut. But yeah, they built that off just like that with the gel.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then there's cat eye happening. There's great cat eye, and then there's another finger that's glitter, and then there's opal, and then there's all these gems.
And they're very long and pointy.
Yes.
And can I see them?
Yes.
And
they're a little bro. I probably fucked them up, but
yeah. And they're all. I love that they are all kind of. They're not all different, but there are like a couple that are opal, and a couple that. Are just sort of glittery, and some of them have stones and some of them don't. How long does that acrylic stay in your nail?
I mean, it's always there. I just get fills.
Okay.
So it's just when it starts to grow out from the bottom.
And so then the fills...
They fill it in.
Like, but near the cubicle.
Yeah, exactly.
Cuticle.
Cubicle.
Yeah.
Oh, you said cubicle?
near the cuticle.
Yeah, yeah.
So they fill it in.
They fill
so
it
they're
in.
Constantly, like, always, like, filling
adding
it in
and,
at the base.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, they put a little bit more. They'll file the whole nail down a little bit and then, like, add, a recoat. And I do that every 2 weeks because my nails grow pretty long.
Wow.
I'm high maintenance, but at the same time, I never do my nails except for those, like, every 2 weeks someone else does it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a luxury that you... Give yourself. Yeah, I bet it is a really relaxing self-care time.
It's really nice. I mean, I need my nails painted for work.
Yeah.
Period. I don't need this. This is definitely because I'm just into nails. So it's like half work, half not.
Yeah.
It's a tax write-off. Whatever.
I feel I'm like letting my nails breathe right now because I had a gel job before I went to Vegas, which was very indulgent for me. Just getting like a little short nail glitter.
I know you showed me. You're like, look!
That's one. I mean, that is definitely like a part of my like glam or femme.
Yeah.
Like
you're a Bowie.
Well, I like to show off. To
you're Prince Bowie.
I like attention. Arabelle, what does it mean to you to have a nail fetish?
I mean, it's that I like have a million of like nail porn like blogs on my Instagram. Just follow. It's the feel, it's the look. I check out my own nails constantly.
Yeah,
you know, it's the like one of the first things I notice on other people.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice it when you're watching porn? Like, do you
not in porn? Funny enough, but I actually don't watch porn.
That makes sense.
I only watch cartoons.
Oh, yes, we've talked about this.
Yeah. It's you know how the like sausage is being made kind of thing. It's the same thing, even though there's nothing. You know, I've had some really hot. Times on sets, but it's just it's just not the same.
Yeah,
the fantasy is ruined. So yeah,
but so the fantasy of cartoon characters.
Oh no,
Disney princesses.
I don't know them. I don't know your damage. I don't know that like building or that director or that company or whatever that is or like know you or you're my friend. Like There's people that I've masturbated to that I like had to stop masturbating to. Like once I like met them and became friends with them, I was like, nope, that's weird now. Like can't do it. Which I don't think necessarily it's bad. I have some friends that totally masturbate to them. But I don't. Got real quiet. Sorry, totally. I'm talking about something else now. I'm like all over the place.
No, that's fine. I guess my final question for you about nails. It's interesting. It seems like it's sort of, it's not only something that you admire on other people, but that you just, it's something that makes you feel sexy and powerful and good about yourself.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I mean, and just in general, like, femness and when I am presenting femme as me at my most comfortable. And I think the nail is also going to that. I feel like I'm living my best self.
Do you like when you are like editing your porn
and I see my nails on holding a dick?
Yeah.
Yes, I genuinely do. And I like actually sometimes when I choose gifts, it's totally on just like, oh, look, my nails look really good. Which is not the way you should choose porn gifts, by the way.
I don't know. It depends on who you want to.
And I mean, I have like fans that write to me and they're like, I really love your nails and all like the porn. So at least I'm not the only one that's enjoying it.
You're definitely not the only one.
I like it. I've had so many conversations about my nails.
With your fans?
In life.
Just like in life. Yeah.
Like my
Sounds like you're obsessed.
I'm obsessed. And like my manicurist is like always excited. She's like, you always make me do interesting things. And like all the girls at the nail shop like come and look at mine. I feel like a fucking shiny pony. And everybody's just like, your nails. And I'm like, yes. Let's talk about how amazing my nails are.
Well, that is beautiful. I could talk about how amazing you are and how amazing your nails are all day, but I think you have to go do some femme easy. You have a femme easy appointment right now.
I do. Could I
get microbladed whatever?
Cut a million little things into my face.
Yeah. Well, what a lovely face it is.
Oh, thank you.
And I love having it on my couch talking to me about porn and femme identity and everything else.
Thank you for having me.
It's always really such a pleasure to see you.
Oh, always.
And I've been wanting to have you.
Vice versa.
And I've been wanting to have you on the show for so long. This was really fun.
Thanks for having me.
I hope that you'll come back and be on the show again sometime.
Oh, yeah. We have so many weird things to talk about.
So many weird. Yeah. You guys don't even want to know the things that we thought about maybe talking about. And when the book comes out, people should get their hands on it. And where can people find your work on the internet? Whether they want to hear you ranting about Barbara Streisand or whether they want to buy clips based on the gifts of your fabulous nail jobs wrapped around dicks.
For the rants, it's Twitter at Arabelle Raphael. It's easy.
Yeah.
You'll see the name while you're published or, you know, clicking on this this podcast, you'll know how it's spelled. That has also links to everything and like the articles that I write, which I've done like some for like Tits and Sass. I did something for The Outline. It kind of comes out like
great
once
stuff.
In a while. And you can find my porn at www.arabellerafael.com. You can find it on Clips for Sale, which would just be a quick search of my name, on many vids. Even stuff on Pornhub, which is all kinds of complicated, but let's be real.
Do you see any money when people...
I do make money. Anything that I put up, I do make money. And actually as much money as I've made on other
That's fascinating.
Clip buying sites. I have really mixed feelings. Oh, that's... We could talk about this for an entire whole episode.
For sure.
Actually.
But that is fascinating to know that you as an indie producer are able to use Pornhub as a forum to reach people make revenue.
Because honestly, people don't want to pay for porn and it's brought me so much more visibility too.
Yeah.
So much more. It's sleeping with the devil a little bit, but it's definitely like also brought a lot of like helpful things. Also, this stuff was already getting pirated and putting it on there anyway.
So you might as well.
So I was just like, okay, well now at least I'll like just whatever gets put on there, I just have put transferred to my site and I make money off something that's already been put because it's fighting pirating is exhausting.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we will have the opportunity to talk about more about that business stuff sometime.
Oh, totally. I'm totally down.
So Arabelle Raphael.com.
And then,
and Instagram.
And then on Instagram, it's my name as well. And if you want a session, can I do that?
Yeah, of course.
Am I allowed to do it?
I mean, you know, if eventually this entire podcast could land me in federal prison because of Sesta. So, but
you
might as well.
Cut it out if you need to.
Whatever, man. I'm fucking already there along with everybody else. Yeah, if somebody wants to
meet me and have a conversation and what other else, you can go to www.meetarabelle.com.
Well, I'm so glad to have met you.
Feeling is very, very mutual.
Thanks again. Yeah. Could you scratch me with those nails one more time?
Right. And that's just light.
That's just light. Mm-hmm. That's not you carving your name into my flesh. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll save that for next time.
Bye.
Thanks, Arabelle.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.